on Triple J.
I've thought of a new intro for the podcast. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
It goes like this. Dip, 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 get a pod.
Oh, yay! Get a pod.
And we're back.
No, 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 no. I like that song. I think I prefer this one, though. And if I recover, will you
be my comfort? Or can be your... Well, sure. If you only compare get a pod to recover, I'm going to come out second best.
But it was something you probably should have raised with churches.
Yeah, it's true.
They could have done a cover or something. They are excellent at covers. In fact, it's crazy. They've been, like, they only came to Australia for the first time in 2013, and they've been four times since.
And they were only a band, like, 12 months before that.
Yeah, it's crazy. No wonder they're still so enthusiastic and happy and positive.
They are. They're wonderful. You'll hear all about it. They're out for Laneway. And we set them a bit of a challenge, too, because the first Laneway that they'll be playing is Adelaide, the city of churches.
They also said that they're big fans of Daughter's work. Daughter, our feature album artists this week. We chatted to Eleanor from Daughter all about the album.
You also hear from Dylan Francis, who's one of the most fun guys in electronic music. He's a real kook. He's very wild. He does an entire like secondary character DJ called DJ Hansel, who just plays like Euro trash house music or deep house. And he has like a whole second career, like producing music and playing as a joke character. He's remarkable.
It's a wonder that he has time.
Yeah.
Maybe there's heaps of him. Like Banksy.
He has a secret twin.
Yeah. Also, Lewis finally confronted his issues with food.
Oh, my God.
Lewis has such a long string of things he can't eat. I thought I'd try to help him. It turned from help into harassment very quickly.
It's really quite confronting. It ended up with a hypnotist in the studio hypnotizing me to eat my worst nightmare, which is custard. And I've watched the video back, and it's so weird.
It's really creepy. Go on to our Facebook and have a look.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Veronica and Lewis.
You'll hear about it. It might make you feel uncomfortable. It made me feel uncomfortable, but it was quite funny, too.
Me, too. Should I feel bad?
No.
I feel like I owe you because I did something bad to you.
That's okay. Look, you were trying to help, and you didn't know it would turn into,
No, I wasn't trying. I was trying to do good radio at the end of the day. I thought, oh, this is a funny idea. Let's make Lewis look stupid.
Well, it worked.
And back in 2013, we loved the Bones of What You Believe, Church's debut album, and we've got brand new music from Church's, and to tell us about it, we've got Lauren on the line with us from New York right now. How you going, Lauren?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, really excellent. So you did one of your first gigs in 8 months just the other night in Ottawa. How did you go?
Yeah, we started in Canada, and we are doing Pitchfork in Chicago today, and yeah, it's good, I guess. As much as we've played so many shows in the last couple of years, it is weird to have been off the horse for that long. But, yeah, I feel it's exciting to be playing new songs for people and just really getting our teeth into that.
Is Canada a bit like starting off Broadway? Do you go to Ottawa first and then work up to New York?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to slag off Canadian people like that. I have to say it's just how the tour routing worked out. And everyone was very kind to us, so it was a nice way to restart it, I think.
Were you quite nervous to be playing again after 8 months?
Yeah, I think so. I get quite nervous before shows anyway, I guess. So having been out of practice and just in a studio for 8 months was very relaxing at the time. But then when you have to do it again, I'm like, what if I forget everything? What if I do? And I never forget anything, really. But just the panic that you might, you know, the stressful.
Yeah. So the last 8 months, was that all recording or did you have a little time for yourself?
We finished touring in Asia the end of November, and we took December and the start of January off just to kind of try and remember what our mothers look like and stuff like that. So yeah, we had about 6 weeks off, and then we started writing in Glasgow in our little studio flat we have in the middle of January. So yeah, I guess it was nice for us that we could decide ourselves to go back in and start working. I think if you'd been working away and touring for that long, and then there was like a label or a manager or something being like, you need to go back in at this time and start work and you need to have it handed in by that time, that would be different. But I think we all felt quite ready to start writing because we hadn't done that for a long time and we just wanted to get that energy out, I guess.
So what's changed in the way that you're making music now from when you were doing it with your debut?
Well, I suppose the funny thing about being back in the same place is really comforting. It's really nice to be back in our own space and just kind of able to block out the world and be in our little bubble. But also, the last time we were in there, we were making the first record and we weren't doing the band full time until quite towards the end of the recording process. So like I had a day job and I would go in evenings and weekends, and it was just really weirdly refreshing this time to be able to focus purely on it. And it's mad that being in a band is our job. It doesn't seem like it should be a real job, but we're really lucky. So.
And tell us a little bit about that studio flat that you mentioned. What's the sort of setup you guys have got there?
Well, it's a basement flat on the south side of Glasgow, and it's in a residential area. So we have to kind of abide by like normal sleeping patterns and things. But I think that's quite nice for us. It's nice to have that routine to kind of get the same train to the studio every day and see the same people on the street and go to the same sandwich shop and things like that. But it's the same place. We just kind of re-soundproofed some of it just to not bother the neighbours too much. And rather than spending money on going to like a fancy studio in LA with a fancy producer to create the second record, we kind of just binged a bit on old synthesizers and bits of gear that we'd wanted. And I think for us that felt like a better way to invest, because we were just kind of giving ourselves more tools for the toolkit but not really involving any kind of outside influences in terms of deciding what the record was going to be like.
In terms of like upgrading those synths and other bits of equipment, did you add anything fun to the mix?
I think there's a couple of things that we bought, and like we played around with it for ages, and then we were like, yeah, it's never going to work on the record because they're too random. But Ian especially is just a total gearhead, and every 6 months our manager is like, can we not take the old synths on tour? Can we do it on software synths? And he's like, no, because they're special and they have like, you know, they do have a certain character that it's difficult to recreate, but it's just such a nightmare to travel with. So we have to have like double backups and take the soundboards out and travel with them separately and things, and it's mad. But they are just completely themselves and you can't recreate it, you know, so.
Well, we're very much looking forward to hearing how that sound comes out on your new album, Every Open Eye. But right now we want to put on one of the brand new tracks from it, the first track from it, Leave a Trace. What can you tell us about this song?
This one, I think we were all talking about it the other day, and we think that this one probably sums up the different things on the record quite well in one song. So the verse is quite demure, but the pre-chorus and the chorus really kind of go for the jugular, and it's quite aggressive lyrically, which is something we haven't really necessarily done that much of before. But I think that's what's been interesting about this record. It has some of the darkest lyrics we've written, but also has some of the most hopeful ones. And I think that that's always what we've tried to do in our music, is have that juxtaposition of light and dark and just kind of the balance of those two things. So I think that's personified on this song quite a lot.
Lauren, you were saying before that the lyrics are often a bit more aggressive in Every Open Eye, a new album. Can you talk us through the lyrics of this album? It isn't a breakup album, but it is about past relationships.
I suppose that is a theme that comes through it, but I think our point we were trying to make is that it isn't a breakup album, as in this has just happened to me, I'm writing about this now. It's about certain things that have happened to us over the course of the last couple of years, because it has been a while since we actually wrote, you know. And I guess for me, I tend to write lyrics from a personal perspective, whether that's about personal situations or other things, just how I personally feel about it. And I think on this album, it was nice for me to try and be a little bit more assertive with the things that I'm writing, you know, when you have the benefit of hindsight and a little bit of distance. And I guess I quite like the idea that maybe people don't always feel the strongest or the most assertive, but in my writing sometimes I try and do that, so it's almost like I can convince myself that I am, kind of thing, you know, like live it, learn it, be it. So
wow. Do you, because you used to write for a living, you used to be a journalist, I mean, you still write for a living in a way, but do you ever think about writing other things other than songs still?
I do the odd bit here and there. I do a bit of work for a website called The Talk House, which Michael Azarad, the guy who wrote Our Band Could Be Your Life, runs, and it's really cool because it's like musicians writing about music, which is quite interesting. But I guess other than that, we've been quite busy. But I think it's nice to have that option and use a different part of your brain and just kind of keep writing different kinds of things. But it's a pretty different discipline to lyric writing, I think.
It's been interesting hearing about the sort of influences for you guys on the record. The name Michael Jackson's been bandied around a little bit. Did you guys rediscover his music, or did it happen by accident?
I guess when Martin's been talking about that to people, I don't think it's necessarily that we have been listening to Michael Jackson and tried to write a Michael Jackson record, because you could never do that. It was more about the production techniques, I suppose. Because if you listen to a song like Smooth Criminal. There's about 4 or 5 tracks in that whole song, but it's massive, and it's like insane. It's so beefy, but it wasn't done in a way which some people can be tempted to do by just throwing like track after track after track on top of it, and you know, throwing everything but the kitchen sink at a song to try and make it epic. It's just like an incredible vocal, an incredible bass line, and an incredible performance, you know? So I think that was something that we were thinking about, was just how can we do more with less? And I suppose, yeah, just kind of trying to make sure that everything that we're putting into the song is 100% essential, that it's there, and how all of that fits together is very important.
The album Every Open Eye is going to be out on September 25th. Do you have anything planned on the day?
We're kind of pulling together our autumn plans at the moment. So, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we can be everywhere all at once. But, yeah, we're hoping to make it back down to see you guys soon. So any announcements will be on our website once we've figured out how the heck we can do it all.
Wow, I love that you plan seasonally as well.
Well, yeah, got to go in quarters. It's the music industry way.
Wow.
It's been really funny having a look at the teasers for the album artwork. I assume that you guys have been putting out on social media a few squares of an image being shown at a time. And I loved reading on Reddit, some real super fan has written, well, it's 6 squares by 6 squares, giving us a total of 36 squares. They reveal 4 a day and already showed us 4 yesterday, and today giving us 8 squares. So within a week, I think we'll see the whole photo. Can you confirm, is that accurate?
Yeah, I feel like they don't have to wait that long. I feel bad. We were just trying to find a nicer way of doing those social media posts that really annoy people, where they're like, something's coming, but you can't tell you yet. So we're like, maybe we should do it with art. That's kind of nicer and less annoying. So, yeah, but we're not going to eke it out for that long. It was okay. We didn't want to
pressure
people that much.
All right.
Cool. Well, we're really looking forward to hearing the album, and thanks for sharing that new track with us. Lauren from Churches, hopefully. Yeah. We'll see you back in Australia very soon.
Thanks, guys.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis. Earlier on, we were asking you about the records you kept.
Yeah, there are still some really weird ones coming through. Someone just said through, my sister kept a record of the number of Nutri-Grain pieces she had each morning. It was a little book, and she even included the half pieces.
It's a Weight Watchers thing starting really early.
Oh, that's over the top. I do go and wonder what the number is, like what the average is. Finding out wouldn't be interesting, but still.
It's good to wonder.
Curious.
Gabby says, I wanted to be a spy when I was younger, so I kept a record of the amount of red cars that came off our road. I thought that was something a spy might do.
Yeah, good practice.
Yeah, but I do want to share a record that I've been keeping about Lewis. You've spotted it on my desk.
I know, yeah. And look, you and I have had this discussion over many years.
Because it's annoying, it's frustrating, and it's stupid. You need to grow up. Okay. This is a list of the food that Lewis can't eat. Okay. Marshmallow, custard, anything with marshmallow or custard, kiwi fruit, peaches, lychees, jelly, including, you know, trifle.
All jelly lollies.
Jelly
too.
Slice.
Yep.
Jelly lollies, frog in a pond, for example. Banana, yogurt, jelly lollies. In fact, yogurt, including anything that has dairy and fruit mixed.
Do not like dairy and fruit together.
Okay. Smoothies, for example.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah. Brie with that fig stuff. What do you think on that?
Oh, you know what? That's probably an exception.
Ooh, watch
yeah.
it. It's a ridiculous list. That, combined with the fact that you still order cappuccinos as your coffee choice, indicates that an intervention needs to take place.
I like to treat myself occasionally.
And you need to man up.
But the thing is, well, because you always give me shit about this, and everyone around the office constantly gives me shit about this, and people will just like come near me with kiwi fruits.
Because I buy a wagon wheel for us to enjoy together, and you go, oh, the marshmallow thing, and I go, oh,
how long have you known me to know that like I will not eat marshmallow?
It's
how many
extensive.
Times do I need to tell you?
It's too extensive.
But this is genuinely true. Like people will often, because my general rule with foods is I don't like anything that sits halfway between a liquid or a solid. Like, I just don't feel comfortable with it in my mouth.
We're getting some really great suggestions of how we could fix this, have to mix everything together and then make Lewis eat it.
No, come on.
Is one suggestion. But there are also some really weird...
It's a lot of support. A lot of support.
...issues. Julia from Sydney, your cousin Yvette dogged you in. What's your issue?
Yeah, I don't like to eat fruit that touches. I don't want my fruit to touch. And I don't eat purple food.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That's welcome, first of all, Julia.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Ignore Veronica. But so when you say fruit that's been touching, is that like touching on like the vine so you wouldn't eat like grapes, or touching in a bowl?
touching it. So if someone cuts it up, it just cannot touch. So like the absorbent texture of a watermelon must not and will not touch an apple, and then I will not ingest it if it does.
Ah, so different fruits. So like a fruit salad is your nightmare.
It is my number one nightmare, yes.
So what about if an apple's touching an apple? Are they allowed to be in the same family and touching?
It's okay. I would prefer it like red and red, you know, not with the green, because I don't like to be, you know, lied to by the apples.
So is there any purple food you will eat? None at all?
No, not really. I might try a Starburst, but that's just that flavouring, isn't
what,
it?
What about purple drink?
No, not into that.
And do any of these other crazy issues cross into your normal life, or is it just a food thing?
No, well, I guess if it comes to some kind of party that you go to and there's a fruit platter, it's just a huge weight when I'm standing there and I have to take something, or at Christmases and things. It's huge,
There's a lot of pressure on people who have these preferences.
Well, we've got to do something about this, Lewis. I'm planning an intervention. We do. Julia, you need to do something about your issue too. It'll make life easier.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, we're content.
Let's
we're happy
work
with
together
ourselves.
On this. And that was Numbers from our feature album all this week. It's called Not to Disappear. It's Daughter's second album. A few years back, they released their first, and you would have heard this song from it a lot. Underneath the skin, there's a human. Buried deep within, there's a human. And now we've got Eleanor Torner from Daughter on the phone with us right now. How are you going, Eleanor?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Thanks so much for taking the time, because you've just finished a show, right?
Yes. I'm quite sweaty. That's weird.
So are we. Don't worry. Everyone's very sweaty. How is the show? How's the new music going live?
Really good. I think, I think we're quite nervous because obviously, with the new songs, there's still, I was saying this to a friend just now, that it's kind of, I still feel like I'm thinking, like my brain's ticking all the time. I think because I'm nervous that it's because they're so new, I don't want to play the wrong thing or, you know, sing the wrong things. But yeah, really great. And the crowd have been singing along to the new ones and dancing along to the new ones. It's great.
There's such a beautiful hypnotic sound to a lot of the songs that sort of washes over you. What sort of state of mind do you need to get into record music like that?
Well, I think we've always kind of been a band where we're not very natural performers. I think we are quite introverted as people, and I think that, you know, when it comes to playing live, it's almost like about sort of, I guess, trying to get into a kind of like a trance like sort of state where you're really just trying to make the most beautiful sound possible and really be kind of in sync and in harmony with each other, and I think so often I feel really very nervous and terrified before playing shows. But it's great. It's just something that we really do enjoy doing and all enjoy playing. But I think that being a natural performer is something I think we still need some practice at feeling comfortable in front of lots of people. So.
Yeah, well, it's a different sound, definitely, the new record, Not to Disappear. Your earlier one was maybe a bit more sort of acoustic. What did you guys want to change between the two albums?
I think we really felt like when we started writing that we could, it was almost like to keep all of the options open, and especially in terms of instrumentation and sound, to kind of keep every avenue. So if we wanted to put a synth on something, or if we wanted to use electronics, that we didn't feel like we couldn't do that, like that we didn't feel like we were limited to just the soundscapes and the textures that we put on the first record. And I think that when we thought about the second record, it wasn't comparatively to the first one. It was more like this is a blank page and we can fill it with whatever we want. So yeah, I hope you like it.
Well, we want to put on No Care, which is a real standout. It's sort of a faster tempo, a quite a different feel to any other track on the album. How did this song come about?
This one was actually really one that it does feel like kind of it jumps out of nowhere, and I think even when we wrote it, it kind of jumped out of nowhere as well. It was something that we kind of found this guitar riff, this sort of really grainy sounding fuzzy kind of guitar, and then I just had suddenly all these like ideas pop into my head, and I thought I need to get these down, but I don't have time, almost like I don't have time to write them down. We'll just record them. And so I asked Igor, can you hit record and I'll go in there and I'll just like rant at you for three minutes or whatever it was. So yeah, the lyrics kind of came out in one go, and they pretty much, that was, you know, when we were demoing it, but they've stayed the same. So it was really like a very impulsive kind of stream of consciousness type writing, which was great. It felt like a new way for us to make music.
And when you were ranting in the room, were you ranting about a relationship?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very personal, truthful song. It's a strange song, and it's something that I think it addresses a topic, you know, especially I guess it's the only song that really like overtly talks about sex, which I haven't really, there's another songs that like do, but I think this one is the one where it really is like, this is how I feel, and this is that kind of strange, odd way of talking about sex that I don't know if a lot of people would, which probably because it's a bit too much information, but sometimes it's good to share things, so I'm happy to.
That is No Care from our feature album all this week, which is called Not to Disappear, and we've got Eleanor from Daughter on the line with us right now. Eleanor, the album title, Not to Disappear, that's a lyric within one of the songs. Why did you pick that out as kind of like a representation of the album? Why was it important?
I think we always try to pick a line from a song as our title. We did with If You Leave, that came from Shallows for our first album, and even with the EPs, it was always something from the lyrics. And we basically tried to think of what would be the one line that really feels like it sums up the entire album. And for me, it really felt like, as much as Not to Disappear, it is kind of, it's quite a strange title. It's not one that I was like an instant, like, oh, that sounds like a good choice. But I think in terms of sentiment and like meaning, I think it really, it feels like the whole album kind of talks about loneliness and how, you know, the various ways that you can feel alone as a person. And I think that there's still quite a fighting spirit, and that it's not, you know, that actually you should fight against that loneliness, because sometimes it's not a real thing or a logical thing. It's like a weird state of mind or something that overcomes you sometimes. So yeah, Not to Disappear is kind of like saying I'm not going to be wiped out by my own feelings of loneliness, or I'm not going to become invisible, but I guess fight against those kind of thoughts and feelings that make you feel invisible.
Do you think that yeah. is a, like, that sort of theme runs through the album, or do you think that the album has a theme for you?
I guess we don't really think about it too much when we're making something. It never, like, we're going to make a, not like a concept album that way you kind of think, right, we're going to base it around this one thing. But it was really strange, because I kind of looked at this album and looked at the previous album, and it felt like the first album we made was really like a dissection of how your relationship can break up, and this album was really like a dissection of the different ways you can feel alone in life, and whether that's with someone else, whether that's in a room full of people, or whether, you know, it's kind of like, it's strange because it all seems to have a underlying theme, but it wasn't really planned that way. It just, obviously, that was the state of mind I was in when I wrote all these songs. So.
It also feels like you use more metaphors and stuff in the first album, whereas this one seems more raw, where you're kind of just bearing your soul. Was that a scary process for you?
It was scary in the sense, I guess, that it doesn't leave a lot of places to hide. In terms of, I guess, when you disguise people or subjects as something else in a kind of poetic way, it's sort of, there's at least a veil between you and the audience, and I feel like, or the listener, and I feel like with this it really is like the curtain is up, and it's kind of like me having a direct conversation with someone. So yeah, it's scary, but it's also weirdly liberating to just be like, this is my brain. Hello. So yeah.
We've got Eleanor from Daughter on the line with us talking about Not to Disappear, their brand new album, which is our feature album. Do you find that when you do put yourself out there like that, that the audience sort of gives you more in return?
I think our audiences do give us a lot. I think even probably because of the people that we are, and I guess we have a shyness to us, that when we're in front of an audience, I think we really react to the audience. And so you know, it kind of is, almost feels like because they're there, they have a almost like a mutual understanding, or that they probably feel very similarly at times to how I might feel in terms of the lyrics. And so I think that it's like it feels like a sort of a therapy group in some way, in like a beautiful way. It feels like I'm sharing my secrets with people, and they're not going, oh, you're weird. They're going, oh, great, let's also like sing them back to you, or let's just like be here with you. It's kind of amazing.
Well, we're looking forward to that therapy group experience when you come to Australia. If anybody hadn't heard yet, it's crazy exciting news. Daughter's going to be coming to Australia at the Metro Theatre in Sydney on the 10th of April, and then Melbourne at 170 Russell on April 11. Look forward to seeing you then, Eleanor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like much fun being their daughter session.
No, it's beautiful. It'll be great.
Oh, thank you. We're very excited. So. Thanks.
Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
You're with Veronica and Lewis, and you've caught us in the middle of an intervention that is being staged here. The Lewis is a fussy little boy intervention, which essentially, if you don't know, he can't eat anything. He can't eat any good things, jelly, custard, peaches, anything with a crazy...
See, I would say I can't eat a lot of things that are already unhealthy, which improves my life overall.
What about kiwi fruit? What about banana? What about anything that... What when you try to eat a banana, what happens?
Look, I can eat bananas. I just choose not to. I don't like the fact that they're like got a little bit of fur or like stringy bits on the outside of the banana. Anyway, the important point is I'm not alone. Lachlan from Mill Park, for instance. Lewis, you are my food brother. The list you mentioned is basically everything I hate. Someone else said, Lewis, you are my soulmate. I don't need any of the food you listed. Same deal. Texture issues. So this is widespread.
So we've got an expert in, well, I have.
I'm just learning about this now.
Simone Emery, welcome to the studio. You are work professionally with fussy eaters?
Yes, I do.
How old are they usually?
So my usual demographic are 2 to 5.
Okay.
Yep. So quite young.
Okay. Have you ever worked with a giant baby?
I have seen this all in action.
Okay.
Across a range of ages, but my techniques are a little bit more honed to the younger kids. So as much as I try not to be patronising today, I will be bringing out some of my... fun play activities.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm very silly. Treat me like a 5-year-old. It's what everyone else does.
We've also got with us on the line Julia from Sydney, who we spoke to yesterday. How are you going, Julia?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Can you share, Julia, your food issue with Simone?
Yeah, I don't like to eat any fruit that's been touching each other, or just any fruit. So if you've been cut up on the same plate, like it's just one fruit only deal for me.
So is that a weird thing, or is that usual?
It's not actually that unusual. Wow. It is something that is happening. So don't feel like it's a huge issue. There's things you can do about it. And the main thing to do is find out why it's happening for you. So what I want to do today with Lewis is to help him get to the root cause of why this is happening. But, yeah, definitely the touching thing or the shared plate thing is like I said, a thing. Okay. It does happen.
So, Lewis, when did this started? Since you were a baby?
Well,
we just heard from Margot.
We just heard from my mum, and this has happened since before I was, like, eating solids. So this has just always been this way.
Yep. Mm.
So what are the games that you've got?
So what I've got today is I'm actually going to mimic one of my favourite things to do, and I love to eat with people. Lewis, do you like to eat with people?
I love to eat with people, Simone.
Fantastic. It's my favourite thing to do. I love going out for dinner. I love having people come to my house for dinner, and I love sitting down with them. So what I'm going to do today is we're going to have a little bit of a meal together.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing about it is there's going to be some friendships.
Okay.
I'm going to be your friend.
All right.
Oh, you and Veronica are already friends.
This is true.
Not right now, but
generally, historically.
So we're all going to be friends having some food together today.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, you don't have to eat it.
That's very nice of you.
Okay, I'm taking that off the table now for you.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is I want to see where you're happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to be doing some me looking at your nonverbal cues and working out where you're happy with what we're doing.
Yep.
Okay?
All right. Should we go to a song and eat
together?
Let's
do that. I wanted to have a little moment to get my head in the game.
Okay.
How would you say this degree of shame would go in a session normally, Simone?
Seeing a little bit now from Veronica is a little bit of a negative association with the food.
Oh, that's right, Veronica. So, a lot of judgy parenting coming from you, Mum.
One of the main things I love to avoid with parents in particular is to go, hey, let's stop using that F word, the fussy word.
Oh.
So we don't actually say that F word anymore.
How would you describe my issues?
So we just say, you eat.
I do eat.
Because you do eat.
Okay.
And we're going to enjoy some things today, and we have to realise that we're not going to eat everything straight away.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be some things that might at least get in the room. So today I have brought some things in the room, and I can see Lewis already looking at them.
Oh,
and
my
we're
God.
On our way there. We're yep. already looking at them. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. You have now tolerated your first kiwi fruit.
Yes, there is a kiwi fruit in the room.
And do you know what these
ones
are?
I do. They're lychees.
Yeah, lychees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lewis, would it be all right if I put it on your plate?
Yes.
So yep. to explain to everyone what I've set up here, I've got a nice big flat plate.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do with the plate, I would like you to put it on the table.
Yep.
And go, flat splat.
Flat splat.
Yeah. So that helps us remember that we keep our plates flat on the table.
Okay. Yep.
We don't throw plates.
All right. Yep. No, I'm not in danger of flipping a plate.
Okay, awesome, because it's going to get a bit more interesting after this.
Okay.
Nice plain plate.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we've got here is a bowl,
mm-hmm.
and we go plop, plop, stays at the top.
Okay, allow me.
Okay.
Plop, plop. There we go.
Okay, so there we go. The best thing about this bowl, it's called your learning bowl.
Great.
The learning bowl is where we put the foods that we still want to learn more about,
mm-hmm.
but they're not as intimidating as if they were on our plate.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to put the lychee
mm-hmm.
on your plate.
Yep.
Are you going to cry? Are you okay?
Thinking about...
Actually, he's rubbing the inside of his elbow. And that's what he does when he gets anxious.
Okay. So we've got, the lychee.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to pick it up?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's pick it up. And Veronica, you've also got a lychee on your plate.
Yeah, I picked it up. I'm going to smash it.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to shove it
so
in the
So what
gum.
We're doing here is I'm including everyone in the room at the same time in the same activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got our lychee.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about cracking the skin?
Great.
Great?
I feel great about it.
Do it then.
Do you want to watch me do mine first?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's okay. We'll do it together.
You'll be okay?
Oh, it's so hard. Oh, why do they make it? It's like a human skin. It's like a human with goose pimples.
Yeah, it's like an eyeball inside.
Honestly.
But that's delicious. It's part of the fun.
I actually can't even quite get into it. Oh, yuck. Yeah, okay. Oh, yuck.
So have we got a little bit of juice on our hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what we can do about that, Lewis? We can take our washer and clean ourselves up whenever you want.
Thank now, you, Simone.
The rule about the washer,
mm-hmm.
you cannot let Veronica touch it.
Damn right.
Never let Veronica touch your washer.
No way. Oh.
Why not?
So this is a control thing.
Mm.
So we want Lewis to be in control of his eating experience right now.
Okay.
Wow.
So he's got his own washer. He does his own cleaning up.
Yep.
Children from as early as 10 months can clean themselves with a washer.
You know what? I got my lychee right now. Smashing it.
Yeah. Yeah, righto. This
so I'm going to peel my lychee too.
All right.
I am getting a little bit of juice all over my fingers.
Honestly, why do you bother eating these things? It's the touch of them. It's like wet rubber.
Yep.
But
whack it in.
No. Why?
So, now, fantastic. Lewis is using his washer on his own accord to get rid of the lychee juice. I'm so excited for you, Lewis. This is great. So now you have the option of maybe taking a smell.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Give it a smell.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are you feeling like when you smell it?
It smells a bit like sour and rotten.
Sour and rotten. Okay. Yeah. How does that texture feel in your hands?
If
you don't
want
to use, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So let's try and up that description words. If you don't have the words to communicate to me how that feels, you can use a noise.
Okay. I don't think I couldn't imagine a noise other than like, ugh. It's really, I just feel like I don't want that in my mouth or
just
my throat.
Just eat it already.
No patience.
So what we're going to do now is I'm going to move my lychee over to my learning bowl.
Okay, I'm going to do that too.
And
we're going to go to a song.
That'll make you feel a whole lot better.
I'm going to take a time to learn this lychee.
Are you with Veronica and Lewis? Lewis is freaking out. We've got Simone from Play With Foods, fussy eating expert, who's joining us in the studio, and Lewis has just started to gag.
He tried
to do a lychee, couldn't do a lychee.
We were making great progress on kiwi fruit during the song, and then Max, our producer, just brought in a giant plate of custard.
Yeah. So what I wanted to explain to Lewis was that we've had a really great breakthrough with him identifying which part of the kiwi he was going to eat.
We have. Do you,
so this is sitting on a top of a cocktail fork. Mm-hmm. Would you like to give that a lick for me?
I'm going
to
give that a lick.
Oh, how did that go?
That's fine.
All right.
That's fine. That little bit of kiwi fruit, it's got no fur on the outside. It's got no little seeds in the middle. This
lovely
is the good
piece
bit of, the fruit.
Of just bright green fruit.
Yep.
Okay. Would you like to put a bite mark in it?
You bet I would. Oh, you know what? It's all in there.
Oh,
I've eaten a whole goddamn bit of kiwi fruit.
You've achieved a lot.
That's my first bit of kiwi fruit. It's in like 20 years.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Next up, you got to eat that bloody custard.
No. So,
too much.
What Max has brought in is some kiwi fruit draped in custard.
I just want
to tell you, I'm not going to make you eat this.
Damn right.
But what I wanted to tell you is this is actually a really good example of lots of mixed textures. You've got your custard, your seeds, your fruit. It's a whole lot of stuff going on. Mm. And for anyone that has some sensory aversions or food aversions, this is actually a sensory nightmare for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's a big nightmare.
So what I would suggest is we work through the fun things and the playful things we've done today.
Mm-hmm.
Loving the kiwi fruit.
Love the kiwi
Don't
fruit.
Don't try this out yet. You're not ready for it.
Too much for you, baby boy.
Simone, I love the progress. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's Veronica and Lewis on Triple J.
And you are also joined by Becky Lucas for the grey area. And this, which is where you go out and seek the wisdom of the elders.
Yes.
And this time you wanted to talk travelling.
Yeah, you know, getting that travel bug.
Well, and the actual bugs yeah. of the centipedes that are in your house.
Yeah, I didn't go into that, but it's for the third time I've woken up with a centipede in my bed.
Oh.
I don't know how it's getting
Same
there.
Same one?
How they're getting there. No, I put them out and they die in the sun.
I think that's a hygiene issue.
But I've moved into a clean house. So I don't know what's going on.
Mm. And not a roach issue, just a centipede issue.
No, they're sneaking in. It's. I don't. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. Fair enough. Makes
so I brought
me
it up on the radio.
Yeah. But to escape them, you're thinking about going overseas, and you thought maybe get some travel tips from people who have travelled all over the world.
Travelled through time.
All right. Let's have a listen.
The grey area.
Hello, I'm Carmel.
Having a little turn of the scratchy there. So are you a traveller? Have you had the travel bug?
I haven't travelled. I've got the travel bug, but I have never travelled that far. My granddaughter just went for a trip to Bundina, of all places, and the scenery in that was absolutely beautiful. She said to me, Nan, it's the best day of my life, and she's 28 years old.
As a young chap, I used to be one of those chaps who they send you to the rare places where they can't send married people or anything like that, and they used to send me to Ethiopia, to Libya, all over the Middle East, South Africa, Southwest Africa, Windhoek, Gababas. Then I was in Nigeria. Before I went there, I stopped at a place called Fernando Po, which is in the French Cameroons, where a boiled egg would cost you 8 shillings.
What's the wildest place you've ever been?
Oh, I know where she has to go. The Blue Mountains.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any travel tips for someone who wants to do something a bit crazy?
I just did a trip to the Gold Coast in November where the driver was didn't pull the bus in. He pulled it up out on the street. It was hard to get on, hard to get off. He didn't do any head counts anywhere, left somebody behind, had to go back.
So are you telling her also don't go to the Gold Coast?
No, I love the Gold Coast. I'm planning to go again, but don't use the bus company I used.
If someone wanted to party, where would you send them?
New Zealand. Because years ago, a bottle of a Peter of beer was 5 shillings and you got 2 and 6 back on the bottle. And butter was four pence a pound.
Butter and beer, that's all you need for a good party.
It's fun.
So many good tips in there, Becky.
I know. I mean, butter beer is something you would enjoy for a good party, isn't
Jesus
it, Lewis?
Wow, it's back.
Reference. Yeah,
I haven't
bringing it back.
I haven't had a Potter reference in what feels like months. Over summer, it was a really pleasant time.
Yeah, oh, well. Matt and Alex are looking for something to bring back. Bring back the
Potter references. Jesus.
References.
Bring back the shilling, apparently. They're still really excited about how much you can get for a shilling.
I've got no idea what a shilling is. It could be $100. No. It could be 5 cents. I don't know.
Well, it cost eight of them to get a boiled egg, so I hope it wasn't $100.
Becky, so much wisdom. Thank you for the grey area once again.
No worries. Talk to you guys.
You'll be doing
week.
A live cross from Bundina next time holiday.
Best day of my life. Triple J with Veronica and Lewis.
And we're very excited to be joined on the phone by Dylan Francis. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Right. What's going on in LA?
You know, just crazy winds over here. As you were just saying, you know, I think you guys are getting the same thing. But, yeah, like one of my cabinets in my house just it flew off the hinges because it was such hard winds.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was in LA recently at Universal Studios and it was crazy winds and it was really scary on the escalators. The whole experience was,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a frightening, awful experience.
I can imagine.
So
that does not sound fun.
What's been happening with you lately? Have you been in the studio a bit?
Yeah, I've been working a lot. I've just been kind of doing remixes for people right now before working on my own singles or slash album that I want to do. Because I'm still trying to figure out which direction I want to go in. But I've just been making fun, weird records. Like I did a remix for DJ Snake recently for Propaganda. And then I did a remix for Tiesto and Oliver Heldens for The Right Song. And I think I did one more that I
Omen?
Completely forgot about. But oh, yeah, I did the Omen remix for Disclosure that finally went on Spotify.
Yeah, well, Lewis is keeping tabs on what you're up to. So if you lapse in concentration again.
I got you.
So what do you mean,
what
direction you're going to go in? What are you thinking about? What are the options?
I just don't know, you know, since the last record I put out, This Mixtape is Fire, was very much like a fun, I guess, quote-unquote turn-up record where it's very, like, dancey. I'm just wondering if I want to do, you know, any of that on the album, if I do another album, or just where I even want to take my sound right now. I think it's always hard for artists on, like, the sophomore album to try to really figure it out, because I want to hone in on my first album, Money Sucks, Runs Through. I feel like I was very all over the place, so I really want to try to make it super cohesive, have a better cadence to the album, I guess, so that everything kind of makes sense together.
Does playing live sort of alter the way that you want to make recorded stuff?
Sometimes. Yeah, definitely. Like, I had this record with GTA that we were just making a couple days ago, and it's really, this record's like really just an ignorant record, and it's called, I don't know if I want to say the name yet, or just like, I'll wait for you guys to hear it, but it's very much for just playing out at festivals or in clubs, because it's the vocals on it are really, they're interesting, to say the least.
That's so intriguing.
Yeah, that sounds so crazy.
The vocals are from Little John, and he's saying for people to make their titties bounce. And that's men or women.
Okay. So
I don't want people to think it's just for women. There's some men titties out there.
And men can wear bras too. We've seen Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
But Little John does have a reputation for just doing like great festival screams that are really fun
exactly.
to scream back.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to be a really fun record for festival and club stuff.
Well, you've got a pretty exciting announcement to do with touring live, which we want to get to after a song. But we want to put on Brook Brook. Can you tell us what's Brook Brook about?
This one is, I was just sitting in the studio making weird noises and chord progressions. And when I made this chord progression, I don't know, just like the weird drop noises that I made in that chord progression worked together really well. And I had this vocal sample where the guy just sounded like he was saying Brook Brook. And I don't know what he's really saying, but I was like, okay, cool. That's what the song's going to be called now, is Brook Brook.
But if you were to have your own definition of Brook Brook in like Urban Dictionary, what do you think it would be?
I think it would be like, you know, go buck wild crazy.
So some super exciting news. You're going to be touring to Australia.
Yep. I'm really, really excited. I haven't been back since last year. And I've been missing the beaches and all the people there that like come to the shows. Field Day was like one of my favorite shows I've played in a long time.
Really? Why was that?
It just it was so cool to be a headliner in Australia, and the fans just are so incredible. I think it was like one of the first places where a lot of people were really singing along to my songs that don't really have that many vocals in it.
What does that sound like?
So some people don't want to, you know. But Australia, like they were singing I Can't Take It before we had a music video for it. I always get really scared of like seeing if people sing the songs, because if they don't, it just sounds like you're turning the music off.
Yeah.
So
if anyone does want to put it in their diaries right now, April 16, Max Watts in Sydney, April 21, Electric Circus in Adelaide, Platform 1 Melbourne on April 22nd, 23rd of April, Belvoir Amphitheatre in Perth, and Showgrounds in Brisbane on April 24. But some of the other stuff that we really enjoy from you, Dylan, is the comedy stuff that you put up on the internet. Tell us about Dab Thoughts.
Thank you. Dab Thoughts. So we did the drunk pickup lines because those we could all really relate to. You know, the weird nights where you just say the worst thing possible, like, I'm a vacuum cleaner, and that's it, you know? shit happens. You could say that. But Dab Thoughts, we were just thinking about kids that smoke dabs. I don't smoke dabs. I don't actually smoke at all, but I did when I was a teenager, and I can totally, we were just like, we should make one where it's just about kids that are smoking dabs, but then all of a sudden, they can hear each other's thoughts. So that was the first one we made, and then all of it's supposed to be surrounding, like, eating food and trying to say stuff that's very, I don't know, stupid, I guess. Relatable high people, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
The other one is your sort of, like, pan-European deep house DJ alter ego. DJ Hansel.
Yeah, DJ Hansel.
If people haven't heard, sounds like this.
So I was at the club last night, right? And I was playing the house music. And so then I was like, maybe I can go one deeper. So I did, and they liked it. And then I was like, maybe I can go one more deeper. And I did, and they liked it.
They always like it. But you've been actually, like, doing kind of, like, hour-long sets. You did, like, a Major Lazer sort of hour-long takeover as DJ Hansel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's putting out his own record soon that he did with Drezzo. It's called Anxiety. He's definitely going to be making more records. He'll probably put out one a year, if anything, since he's so deep. But yeah, he's definitely touring a little bit.
Well, it sounds like you have plenty on your plate. So we're very excited that you've managed to fit in a trip to Australia in April. Dylan Francis, thanks heaps for chatting to us, and we're very excited to see you soon.
We want to go out with a track that you collaborated with What's So Not on, Arrows. Can you tell us about working with What's So Not?
Yeah, it was awesome. Man, we made this, I think, like 3 years ago, to be honest. Big Day Out was when we made it, I think. Oh. And it was me and Flume. We first started the project, I think it was in Perth, and we started on the plane, and then it just took ages to release. But yeah, that song has been a long time coming, and I'm so happy that it's out because Don Golden's voice on it is one of my favorite vocals I've ever heard.
Are you going to be catching up with any other sort of artists while you're out here in April, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if the Peking Duck guys are there, I'm definitely going to hang out with them. I think Flume is in LA right now or somewhere.
I think he's in Australia
somewhere
right now, but I don't know where he'll be.
Cause he's doing, he is?
Yeah, he's doing some tours at the Laneway Festival, which starts this weekend.
Oh, well, if he's still there, I'll give him a text. If he's still there, I'm definitely going to hang out with him.
Awesome. Well, Dylan Francis, it's always a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you soon. This is your collaboration with What's So Not. It is Arrows. We'll chat to you soon.
Catch you guys soon.
Florence and the Machine, You've Got the Love on Triple J. And before that, Luca Brasi out of Tassie with Aeroplane. Aeroplane, famous for making jelly. Jelly, something I am not into.
Yeah, well, just one of the things you're not into.
Well,
if it's
sure.
not jelly, it's custard, it's kiwi fruits, it's peaches, it's lychees, it's bananas, it's yogurt with anything to do with fruit. It's anything dairy to do with fruit. It's licorice. It's, what have I missed?
Jelly lollies, did you say lychees?
I said lychees. It's annoying.
That feels pretty comprehensive.
You know what? An intervention needed to happen, and that's why it's happening right now. If you've just tuned in, it's a very good time to have tuned in because Lewis is going to get changed for the better.
Yeah, well, is it for the better? We don't know. There's a lot of people saying that they're worried that they're going to lose me to the camp of jelly. Amy in Tasmania said, no, jelly's the worst. Custard's a close second. Don't do it. And Carl, don't eat the custard, bro.
So we chatted to Margot Hobber, who is Lewis's mom, and she told us that ever since he was a baby, he'd been spitting out custard. And she also told us about this other bizarre eating habits that Lewis had.
He had very weird tastes as a small boy. He used to take sandwiches with tomato paste on them and a separate little packet of dried oregano that he used to put on the sandwiches at lunchtime. For some reason, you couldn't put the oregano on the sandwich in the morning. It had to go separately.
But he got soggy.
Ah, Lewis the Italian chef. Thank goodness he doesn't still do that now. So the next step was to get in a fussy eating expert who usually works with two-year-olds to see whether Lewis could finally eat a kiwi
fruit.
See
if she could deal with the big boys.
See whether he could eat some custard.
Would you like to put a bite mark in it?
You bet I would. Oh, you know what? It's all in there.
Oh,
I've eaten a whole goddamn bit of kiwi fruit.
You've achieved a lot.
That's my first bit of kiwi fruit.
in like 20 years.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Next up, you got to eat that bloody custard.
No. So,
too much.
What Max has brought in is some kiwi fruit draped in custard. Now,
I just want
to tell you, I'm not going to make you eat this.
Damn right.
Oh, you wouldn't eat it. Wouldn't
it
eat the custard.
Gross. Looked gross.
So, but we also discovered that so many people on the text line have amazing, weird eating problems. Mm-hmm. Julia from Sydney gave us a call.
I don't like to eat fruit that touches. I don't want my fruit to touch. And I don't eat purple food.
Oh,
blue,
wow.
Really.
That's welcome, first of all, Julia. Thanks. Thank you for sharing. Ignore Veronica. But, when you say fruit that's been touching, is that like touching on like the vine so you wouldn't eat like grapes or touching in a bowl?
Touching, so if someone cuts it up, it just cannot touch.
Ah, so different fruit. So like a fruit salad is your nightmare.
It is my number one nightmare.
And we've got Julia from Sydney in the studio with us. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us and being a part of this intervention.
Yeah, great.
Has it been like a problem for you? Because for me, it's something that I just sort of navigate through in life. But Veronica's really the one who it bothers, whereas for me it's fine.
Well, I find it fine. It's my family and my friends, and when I go to places, it's a problem for them.
Yeah, so we're doing this really as a favour to those who love us.
Yeah, a favour to the community.
Mm. Surely, though, there must be circumstances where not eating fruit that's touching is a problem. Like when you go to the supermarket, is it not? Do they not touch with each other on the sides, or you have to pick ones in the middle?
Well, I just pick the best looking one, but it's mostly just, you know, as long as you give them a wash, they'll be okay to eat later on.
And a fruit salad is your nightmare, you say?
Yes, I can't. Fruit salad is just disgusting, and the juices, blah.
So we're going to be hypnotized in a sec. Have you ever been hypnotized before?
No.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm a little bit excited.
I'm a little bit anxious.
A little bit.
Well, I've seen videos of the hypnotist Damien Mastermind, who's coming in a sec, and he does some amazing things with making people dance like Michael Jackson to Michael Jackson.
Wow.
So that could potentially happen. Fingers crossed.
We are joined by Damien Mindmaster, hypnotist, and also Julia, who can't eat any fruits that touch. You're with Veronica and Lewis on Triple J. Welcome, Damien.
Good afternoon, Julia, Veronica and Lewis.
Hello.
So we're so pumped that you've been able to come into the studio with us, because you've been training for a long time to be a hypnotist. Can you tell us about the sort of mentorships and stuff you've done?
I've been working for about 7 years on my own. But prior to that, my good friend and mentor, Stephen Spellmaster, I was with him for about 12 years and been a good friend for 20 years. I've been around it for a very long time.
How many hypnotists changed their surname?
All of us.
All of them?
Yeah. My real name's very boring, so yeah.
So tell us, have you ever done anything like this before, changing people's eating behaviour?
Eating behaviour directly, no, but weight reduction, yes. So I guess indirectly, eating behaviour is involved in weight reduction. So I've helped a lot of people in sports motivation, weight reduction, losing weight. So, yeah, it involves eating and not eating certain foods and eating certain foods. So I should be able to help you guys easily.
Have you dealt with adults who behave like children very often?
Generally, most people go on stage in my show end up acting like children anyway. So, yes.
So tell us most of the stuff you do in the show.
My stage show?
Yeah.
It's crazy, outrageous fun. Yes. Generally about 2 hours worth of fun. So today you're getting a small snippet of it.
So basically what's going to happen is that I'm going to send you guys into another room where the hypnosis will start. It's a process. What happens, Damien?
Okay, so we'll take the guys into a separate room here. Nice quiet place where you guys can relax in about 10 or 15 minutes. You'll be in the nice, blissful world of hypnosis, where every 20 minutes you're under is worth 4 hours of real sleep.
Wow. And there's a lot of people saying, I don't want to be hypnotized over the radio because they don't want to eat custard either. Stay strong, brother. But no, you won't be able to, because you actually can't hypnotize people over the radio, because that actually will happen. It will affect people listening.
Yes, correct. It's all about listening to my voice. So if you were to broadcast what we're going to do in there with you guys, then all your listeners in radio world will go under, including those driving their car. So we don't want that happening.
Everyone will be smearing themselves in custard. That's going to get very weird.
Julie from Sydney, do you have any questions of Damien?
Just, will I be able to eat that fruit touching again?
Without touching again?
No, like touching.
The fruit touching.
Will I be able to eat a fruit salad?
Yes, easily.
Okay. Oh.
You'll love it.
Okay.
You'll love
this is exciting.
Can't wait. Let's get out of here. Have fun.
You guys, go and do your hypnosis. You two get under.
If I come back and you did this just so that you could make me dance like Michael Jackson, I'm going to be pissed.
On Triple J, you are with Veronica. there is currently no Lewis in this studio. He's in a different room. He's been sent away to deal with his eating issues, essentially, as well as Julia from Sydney, who won't eat any fruit that is touching each other or has in the past touched each other, and also hypnotist Damien Mindmaster, who has been studying hypnotism for the last 12 years or so, so pretty huge. And we're getting hypnotism stories coming in. Someone said, I ended up being shirtless and rubbing an old bald man's head after being hypnotized. That's good to know. Someone says, if this backfires, Lewis, and you vomit, vomit on Veronica. See how she likes that slimy shit. Appreciate that. It has been a very strong campaign by me, an intervention to get Lewis finally eating this huge list of stuff he doesn't eat. I can see him at the moment. He's in the room next door. It's sort of a glass room, so I can see in. And I'll just bring up the studio, see what's happening over there.
Don't fight against it. Just let it happen.
Wow. Apart from the fact that it sounds like they're playing Enyo, which I'm clearly into, he's also telling them to not fight it, to just go with it. Lewis, he doesn't look necessarily like he's under just yet, but he is hoping. We'll keep playing some songs, and it won't be too far away that we'll hear the results of whether Lewis has definitely been hypnotized and will eat custard once again. This is Royal Blood right now with 10 Ton Skeleton. Lewis is in the opposite studio along with Julia from Sydney, who won't eat fruit that's touching. Lewis's big food issues that he's got, which I've decided he needs an intervention about, is that he won't eat most things, including anything wobbly or furry, anything where there's like it doesn't necessarily discern whether it is a solid or a liquid, essentially. I thought it was a weird enough problem that potentially he needed help. He had his head slumped down in the studio opposite as the hypnotist Damien Mindmaster has been doing some work. I'll just bring up the studio to see what's happening.
I'll follow myself and Nick. We'll take you by the hand. You'll walk nice and slow with us into the next studio, into the chairs. Where when you sit down...
Before they were doing this really bizarre thing where it looked like that they were pulling a rope that didn't exist, like having tug of war or something, it was really weird. It looks like both Julia from Sydney and Lewis are under, which is great news. We'll find out exactly what's going to happen and whether their food ailments, I don't know, issues have been cured very soon. You are with Veronica and you have joined us at a very bizarre time, currently staging an intervention for Lewis, my co-host, and also Julia from Sydney, who both have pretty severe eating issues. When I say severe, Lewis can't eat anything that isn't a liquid or a solid. It hasn't decided which. Like, he also can't eat bananas. It's a weird thing. Anyway, Julia can't eat foods that have been touching fruit, like so fruit that's touching each other. We've got with us in the studio hypnotist Damien Mindmaster, who has had Lewis and Julia in the room next door going under. They're currently sitting in front of me with their eyes closed, slumped over. And Damien, can you take it away from here?
Okay, guys, I'm talking to Julia at first. Julia, I'm talking to you and you only. On the count of three, you'll open up your eyes and you'll see in front of yourself a plate of fruit. Now, on that plate of fruit, you'll see some fruit touching each other and you'll see some separated grapes and strawberries. Now, Julia, on the count of three, you'll open your eyes, you'll see that fruit platter, and the only food you'll go for is the food touching each other. The separate food won't interest you at all, the separate piece of fruit. The other food touching is so moorish and yummy, you can't wait to taste the fresh taste of all that fruit. On the count of three, one, two, three, open your eyes. Some fruit, have some fruit, Julia. Tastes good? What about this stuff over here, the cut-up piece of fruit?
Happily eating
yummy?
The fruit.
Yeah, eat it.
Smiling.
Yeah, nice, isn't it? Tastes yummy, the best fruit you've ever had. What about this fruit here, the separate fruit?
Oh, God, it's really good.
You want to eat that separate? What's this? You don't want this one? This stuff here, all the juices, all yummy, the best fruit you ever had. Doesn't it taste good, yeah?
Oh my God.
Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah, what about now? You definitely don't want to touch this? Okay, on the count of three, you go deep asleep, totally relaxed, tasting all that yummy fruit in your mouth. Deep asleep. Totally
her
relaxed.
Eyes are sort of
totally at
weird,
ease.
Like
now I've got one more thing to go.
Over. She ate the food. Honestly, she
now
ate
now on the
it.
Count of three, you'll open
so
your eyes.
Bizarre.
You'll see a big bowl of yummy fruit and you'll love it. Yummy fruit salad, the tastiest stuff you've ever
like
had in all your life. You'll taste the yummy, tasty sugar. You can't believe how yummy it is. You'll just take, you'll be careful not to put any on your clothes, but you'll take some nice slow spoonfuls and you'll just love the yummy fruit. One, two, three, open your eyes up. There it is. Grab the
She's
spoon.
Her eyes
there
up.
You go. Yummy,
oh my God.
Sugary
she
fruit.
Looks
look
like
at that
a child.
Fruit salad.
She's just eating
beautiful,
the fruit salad
yummy
and
fruit
loving
salad.
It.
Tastes good. Tell everybody.
Oh my God!
What's it taste like? Just describe the fruit salad to everybody.
It's so yummy. It's like sweet and
yeah. Mm. Oh have you ever had, have you ever had the best fruit salad like that ever before?
Never. It was so yummy.
Does it taste like the best fruit salad you've ever had?
Yes. It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you remember the last time you had such tasty fruit salad?
No, it was so good.
Never? You've never eaten fruit salad ever?
I don't think so. This is so really good.
Yeah.
What's it got in it?
Oh, it's just lots of fruit, hasn't it? Yeah, Veronica made it especially for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
She made it.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful fruit salad. You're smiling. You're so happy.
Yeah, you eat the whole
glazed
bottle.
Glazed over eyes.
Yeah,
it's kind of creepy.
Put that in there. Mix that in together as well. There we go. Look at that. All that broken up
okay,
fruit.
Okay, we're going to go to a song, and after
keep
that...
eating it. Watch it. Don't put any in your
Lewis
clothes.
Lewis has
though.
Got his eyes closed. He is in a weird, deep trance. We're going to find out if he'll finally eat custard. Honestly, this is so bizarre. We'll put the video up on the internet. Hypnotist Damien Mindmaster has come into the studio and hypnotised both Lewis and Julia from Sydney, a Triple J listener who got in touch with us the other day, said she couldn't eat fruit that was touching. She's just eaten a fruit salad. She opened her eyes like she was in some sort of bizarre trance. They were glazed over. She smiled gleefully as she ate the fruit salad, but we're yet to see whether Lewis will definitely eat all the foods that he's been having problems with. It's your custard, it's your deli, it's your peaches, it's your... Anyway, there's a whole list of them which we have created in one giant trifle. Damien, over to you.
Okay, Lewis, I'm talking to you and you only. On the count of three, you'll open your eyes. You'll see a big bowl of the most favourite food you love in the world. The best food you love in the world, your most favourite food. And you'll let me know. You'll open your eyes, you'll look at it, and you'll let me know what you see. One, two, three. Open your eyes, Lewis. What do you see there?
Oh, chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse and deep asleep. Totally relaxed, totally at ease. You'll imagine there's a big bowl of chocolate mousse right in front of you and you can't wait to taste that chocolate mousse, most yummy chocolate mousse you've ever had in your entire life. On the count of three, you won't use the spoon. You'll have to use your fingers to eat the chocolate mousse. But there's one problem. You won't be able to find your mouth. So you put that chocolate mousse
FYI,
as much
it's
as
not
you
chocolate
can,
mousse in front of
but
you.
But you can't.
It's trifle.
You'll take, one, two, three. You'll take your glasses off first. I'll take your glasses off. There you go. You're desperate to eat the chocolate mousse using your fingers, but you won't be able to find your mouth.
It's
you find
not
every
chocolate
other part
mousse.
Of your face but your mouth. One, two, three. Open your eyes, Lewis. There's a chocolate mousse. Start eating the chocolate mousse.
Oh,
get it?
Yum.
Yeah, but you won't be able to find your mouth. Oh. Yeah, put it. Yeah, try and find your mouth. What's going on, Lewis? Why can't you find your mouth? Eat that. Is it?
That's really
a yummy chocolate mousse.
Lewis is lathering custard all over his.
It's so delicious, but I can't get.
Oh, now you've realised that's not working. But now you'll imagine. You'll now imagine that your mouth is under your armpit. One, two, three. Your mouth is under your armpit. Start feeding the chocolate mousse to yourself. Start feeding the chocolate mousse to yourself.
Putting trifle and custard all over his.
It tastes good.
All underneath his arms, all over himself.
Yeah, yummy. Yummy chocolate.
He's in a trance.
Yeah, yeah. Now you realise. One, two, three. Deep asleep. Now you realise that's not working.
Oh, my God.
So now you've
got to
find your mouth. And the only way to find it, to get it working, is to dive face first into that chocolate mousse.
Oh,
yes, dive straight in and start gulping it up and you describe how yummy it tastes.
His mouth
is
limp.
It'll almost be very orgasmic. Describe how yummy the chocolate mousse tastes. The only way you're going
to
eat it is plonk your face straight in.
Lewis is about to dive his face into trifle.
Go in for it. Go in. Get into it.
Oh, my God.
Tell everybody.
Oh, my God.
What's it taste?
So good.
Tastes awesome, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
In you go.
This is so good. I wrote, this is so good.
Oh, my God.
Get it into you. Gulp it up. It's orgasmic.
Oh, my God.
It's tasting orgasmic. Now, keep eating that chocolate mousse. And on the count of three, keep eating it. Get it into you now. Get more into it now. That's it. Now, on the count of three, you'll realize exactly what you're eating, and you'll say the first words that come to mind, but you won't swear. One, two, three. Lewis, open your eyes.
Oh.
What is it you're eating?
More custard.
Lewis is just
crying. And deep asleep. Where you are? One, two, three, deep asleep. Totally relaxed.
He nearly vomited. Lewis nearly vomited.
Totally.
He's just gone back to sleep.
Trifle. Deep asleep. Now, I'm talking to everybody here. Lewis, I'm talking to you.
He's going to wake
Julian,
him up now.
Julian, I'm talking to you. On the count of three, you'll open your eyes. You'll go completely back to normal. You'll no longer be in hypnotic state. But, however, from today forward, you'll no longer have any food issues.
This Julia,
you'll love
work.
Fruit
can
salad.
It?
You'll have no issues with fruit touching fruit because you now know how yummy fruit is. Regardless if it's touching or not, you'll no longer have any issues. And you, my friend Lewis, with all your food issues, there's too many to list, mainly custard and kiwi fruit, though. You won't have any issues with custard and kiwi fruit. You'll love custard and kiwi fruit from today forward. Also, 2 weeks full of energy from today forward. On the count of three, open your eyes, completely back to normal. 1, 2, 3, wakey-wakey, guys. Welcome back.
Lewis.
Sorry, Lewis.
Hello. Oh, my God, Lewis does not know what's happened to him. He's got custard all over him.
Oh,
my God, he's going to vomit. We're getting a bin.
Did I vomit?
No, you didn't.
No, Triple J, we'll be back after this. You are with Veronica and a very seedy, bizarre-looking Lewis who just about spewed before.
Oh, I can't. This was... I feel actually really uncomfortable. I'm still covered in custard. It's all over my armpit. How the hell?
Okay.
Why was I putting it all over my armpit? It's all over my pants. It's all over my mouth. Tastes like old custard. This is foul.
If you've just tuned in, we've got in the studio with us hypnotist Damien Mindmaster and Triple J listener Julia from Sydney. Julia had an eating issue where she didn't like fruits touching each other. Both Lewis and Julia went under and incredibly successfully. It was so bizarre. Eyes glazed over, both like giggling like children. Damien, that was incredible. Did it work as successfully as you were hoping?
I did expect Julia to eat half a bowl of, or three quarters of a bowl of fruit salad. I knew she'd enjoy it, but she really enjoyed it. So,
Julia, how do you feel now? Was that surprising?
Yeah, I mean... I actually, the taste is in my mouth and it's actually quite nice, so that's okay.
How weird. Do you feel bizarre now or not?
I just feel like I just woke up, like I've just come up from a sleep, but I feel pretty good.
Now, the listeners probably can't see, or well, they'll probably watch the video later. Veronica, can you see how glassy her eyes are?
Yeah.
Glazed over. That's a sign of a deep sleep.
This is some sort sleep, of yeah. magic and trickery.
It's amazing.
Lewis, you're gobsmacked.
I feel, I'm actually just... I'm actually covered in custard and this is my worst nightmare.
I feel like I may have violated you.
Yeah, someone has texted in saying that was weirdly cruel. Potentially it was.
I'm fine. Thank you for people who are concerned. But I don't feel like I have the same result as you, Julia. Like, I don't feel like I've come out and gone, yay, custard. Like, I can taste in the back of my throat and it's making me a bit... nauseous.
But you're shaking.
Yeah, I feel I'm covered in custard.
I'm so sorry that I've done this to you. But Damien, thank you so much.
I did take your glasses off first.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate that.
Thanks so much for your work. DamienMindmaster.com.au if anyone wanted to track Damien down. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Damien.
And Julie
good
from
luck.
Sydney. Awesome.
Thanks.
You're cured.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
It's Veronica and Lewis on Triple J.
Paul Dempsey has been cooking up a new solo album and he joins us in the studio right now. Hey, Paul Dempsey, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
So you recorded it in Chicago at Wilco Studio. That was
been
pretty exciting as a big fan.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. And it was a total coincidence too. I wanted to work with this producer, Tom Schick, and I thought he was based in New York. So I was like, oh, I'll go to New York and make the album with Tom. And then he turned around at the last minute and said, oh, I've just moved to Chicago, but we can make the album in Wilco's loft, if that's cool with you. And I was like, that should be fine. That should be just fine.
Yeah, cool. Did you get to like hang out with, you know, Jeff Tweedy or anyone like that?
Just briefly. I mean, actually, the reason I was able to go work there is because they were out on tour. Otherwise, yeah. They pretty much, you know, live there just doing stuff and making music constantly. So, I was only able to get in because they weren't there. But they did, towards the end, they, you know, came back from tour and dropped in and hung out, which was awesome.
And was there a particular reason you wanted to go over to Chicago as opposed to somewhere in Australia?
Well, as I say, it was about wanting to work with Tom Schick. So, there was talk of him coming here and then it was like, oh, no, maybe New York. And then, as I say, he turned around towards later on in the piece and went actually Chicago. So, yeah, I just went, you know, wherever he was, basically.
And so when the guys from Wilco did come back, did they listen to any of your new stuff?
Jeff was, they were kind of hanging around while, you know, we were just busy, you know, doing stuff, making the record. Jeff came by one day and was just kind of sitting on the sofa, you know, playing with new guitars and stuff that had arrived while they were out on tour. So, yeah, we just sat around for a while just kind of strumming guitars, and Tom was, like, mixing one of my tracks in the background. So, but, you know, I don't know. It's, you don't seek people's opinions or something. Mm. I don't know. Yeah. I just sort of pretended it wasn't my music playing in the background and we were just kind of hanging out. So.
Sure. Has your songwriting process changed much, do you think, in the last sort of 6 years since the last album?
That's a good question. I never know how to answer that because I really don't have a songwriting process. My songwriting process is basically, I don't know how to do this. This is scary and where do I start and how the hell, like, I just don't know how this works. It always begins with a piece of music. That part is easy. Every time I pick up an instrument, I sort of come up with some bit of music that I, you know, generally kind of like. But then sort of actually trying to turn that into a song and write words and everything is, it's really just like, how do you do this again? And I've done it a couple of hundred times now, but it's still a very mysterious, weird thing.
Well, you keep accidentally being wonderful. So whatever it is, keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
We want to put on Morningless right now. Can you tell us about it?
This is a... Let's see. Horns, saxophones,
yeah.
Trumpets. It's got lots of brass on it and woodwinds to be precise. It's kind of got this, you know, driving rhythm and this sort of distorted bass guitar. And when I was working on it, I was like, I don't know, how do I take this out of the territory it's in? And then I just suddenly decided that it needed to have saxophones all over it. And one of the awesome things about being in Chicago was... you know, getting to use some of the session guys over there. So we ended up having a couple of guys play on it who play with, like, Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys and Aretha Franklin. And, you know, they just came in and they were absolutely incredible. This track has, like, it has bass sax on it, which is, like, bigger than the baritone sax. It's huge. By the time the guy finished playing this, his lips were actually bleeding because it's quite sort of...
filthy.
I've never even seen a bass sax. Like, a baritone sax is already massive. Like, how big does it get? You talking to the floor?
Bass sax is like, it would be up to most people's shoulder.
Whoa.
There's actually there's photos on my side of him playing it. But when he came in, he was like, he did the baritone sax part and then he was like, okay, let's do the bass sax. And he said, actually, you know, half the reason I was like really keen to play on this is because I'm not sure it can be done. Because it sort of required... blowing so much air through this gigantic horn to generate a sound at such a rapid beat. He was like, I'm not sure if I'm even going to be able to do this, but let's give it a crack. And he nailed it, but, you know, his face was bleeding. So.
Wow. Well, think of the bleeding face of a saxophone player while you listen to this. It's brand new stuff from Paul Dempsey, who joins us in the studio, called Morningless. And do let us know what you think of it. 0439 757 555. You're on Triple J.
That is brand new stuff from Paul Dempsey. It's called Morningless, and there is so much love coming in on the text line right now. Paul Dempsey, gosh, great sound, sir. Dancing in my car, said Susan from Gladesville. We also said, oh my God, this song rules. Love Paul Dempsey, Vic and Redfern. And also Evie, who's from Tobart, who says, as a tenor saxophone player, I can appreciate the hard work that's gone into this track. I've suffered bleeding lips a few times myself. Awesome track. Love it. We are joined by Paul Dempsey. So much love, Paul.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just, you know, as long as there aren't any tweets that say, you know, I like your old stuff better than your new stuff, then, you know, we're going okay.
In fact, there was even one that said, more beautiful than beautiful sharks. So it's, I like your new stuff better than your old stuff, which is still still not that nice.
That's a little bit offensive.
Well, you know, it's progress.
And Ryan from Sydney, what do you think?
Oh, that was freaking awesome. It was like, it reminded me a lot of, like, early Something for Kate, like, something like Pinstripe, or it was really up-tempo and but fresh as well, and it was great to hear some new stuff from you, Paul.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Ryan. That's positively heartwarming.
You sound like this is the first time you've ever heard Paul Dempsey in the world, Ryan.
Sorry?
This sounds like this is the first time you've ever heard a Paul Dempsey track.
No, he was
being sarcastic. He was being sarcastic.
You sound like a very, very big fan, Ryan.
Lewis has just been hypnotized. He's
sorry.
Got his...
I'm all off.
Actually, a couple of years ago, I sent Paul an email and he was nice enough to get back to me. So he's a cool guy.
Paul. Do you remember that, Paul?
The email from Ryan from 3 years ago? Yeah. I do.
It was about a uni assignment.
Yeah. Oh. That's right.
Well,
definitely no memory. Yep. But Paul, is the album along the same sort of vein as the track we just heard?
Compared to the last album, it's actually, I think, a bit more eclectic. It's sort of all over the shop, the album. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not ready to talk about it yet. There's lots of different, unusual sounds. It feels very different to the last one, to me, anyway. I would say that. Maybe I would. I don't know.
Yeah. What's the most unusual sound?
The most unusual... I tell you what, the loft, the Wilco studio was just absolutely full of just the most crazy, weird little boxes that make strange noises and weird antique stuff and, you know, little Japanese things from junk shops and stuff. So, yeah, look, there was lots of just walking around their studio, picking things up and just going, what does this do? And so there's a lot of stuff on the album. I can't even remember the names of half the strange little things I ended up playing. So,
sounds exciting.
Yeah. Well, that studio is just, it's like a, you know, like a candy shop. Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, the best bit of news is that you're going to be touring, doing three shows in February, Friday the 19th of February at the Factory in Sydney, Saturday the 20th of February at the Zoo in Brisbane, and Friday the 26th of Feb at the Corner in Melbourne. How much of the album will people be hearing at those shows?
Quite a bit, yeah. You know, lots of the last album and lots of the new album. I'm really chuffed with my band that I have right now. I've got an awesome band, which includes my friends Pat and Shan, who played with me on the last record, and Adrian from the Gin Club, and Olympia is playing my band
Olympia,
as well.
Olympia, who is, if anyone's familiar... Who you've worked with before?
She sang with me on my shotgun karaoke covers thing that I did, and we've toured together before. And yeah, when I was sort of putting the band together, there's so many, like I said, weird sounds and just backing vocals all over the record that I just thought I really want a female singer to do a lot of these backing vocals and someone who's also just an awesome multi-instrumentalist, and she's just incredibly talented. And yeah, I'm really excited about the band. Can't wait to get out and play. So
yeah, well, neither can everyone on the text line. There's still so much love coming through for the new track Morningless. Paul Dempsey, thanks so much, and we can't wait to hear more of it and to see you on tour on the 19th at the Factory in Sydney, at the 20th in Brisbane, and the 26th at the Corner in Melbourne. Thanks so much for bringing it in. Hello there. A little bit later on, after 5, you're going to be hearing from Dylan Francis all about his new tour. Also, in just a second, Becky Lucas is going to be joining you with The Grey Area, sharing some wisdom of the elders.
But if you've just tuned in, we have been talking about flipping birds. No, okay. Just flipping seagulls. And no, we haven't. Flipping chickens. Essentially. And how you can also flip crocodiles and you can
also... Sharks.
And crocodiles.
Really?
Yes.
Jesus. Any animal on their back is useless.
But it all came about because of the seagull story in Frankston. A guy threw a whole bunch of chips into a train. An army of seagulls came into the train as the door closed, and it was pandemonium.
Allegedly.
We think it's rubbish. Sam from Melbourne, you can verify it's true.
100%. I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh, really? When was this?
Yes. This is actually a very old story, which is why I've called up. It's not a recent one, hence why Metro probably wouldn't be aware of it. It happened about 2007,
okay.
Back in my uni days. It's pretty much as it's been reported on social media. So, I'm not sure. Obviously, we didn't have smartphones or anything back then. But I do have a friend who can corroborate as well, who was there, but unfortunately he's in South America doing God knows what. So I've told him though via Facebook, and he thought it was the most hilarious thing of all time.
Okay, two questions. First, was it definitely in Franger that it happened?
Of course it was in Frankston.
Okay.
Where else could this happen?
All right. Second question, why has it taken so long for it to get out?
I have no idea. Probably because my friend who relayed the story to the gentleman who posted it is a much better storyteller than I am, and probably did a lot more gestures and so forth, and hence he was really enamoured with the whole situation and decided to put it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it was.
So you were there, you were an eyewitness, and you saw a man like maliciously just draw birds in one chip at a time.
Yeah, he had ended up having probably 15 to 20 birds floating around him, and it was a bit after peak hour, so it wasn't overly busy, but there was probably 20 people getting on the train, and it was sort of near the entrance to the platform, so it's the doors that generally people jump on the train, so there was probably 10 people on that carriage, and the doors are gone beep, beep, beep. He's thrown them all on there. Probably half a dozen to a dozen have jumped on there, and the people have just bolted for those end doors to get into the next carriage.
There's a serial,
yeah.
You know, episode or season in this. Sam, thanks for getting in touch.
You seem pretty legit, Sam. Thank you for the call.
I'm more than happy to do this. Thank you.
And we're talking about the jobs your parents got you to do and the shitty currency, essentially. Basically, it wasn't worth it.
Sometimes. Someone said they used to get paid to pair socks. 20 cents a pair. That is a great deal. I mean, I'd do that right now.
Depends on the
That's better than the ABC.
Depends on the lot of socks you got. If there aren't many pairs.
Whole family's worth of socks. You're looking at family of five, say. 7 socks per person?
You do the math. Exactly. Jess from Maitland says, Pop used to pay me 1 cent for each leaf from the bottom of the pool. That's a really rough deal.
Yeah, you're not going to get to that many dollars in that, unless you live under a very leafy tree.
And Emily, what about you? What was your deal?
My dad used to pay my sister and me 5 cents for every white hair that we pulled out of his head with tweezers.
Oh, hell.
That's great.
Why would you want to pull them out? He should have just been dyeing them or something. That's crazy.
He didn't really believe in hair dye, though. That's the thing.
Classic. He sounds like a classic individual. How many white, like, what's his hair like now? Is he sort of speckled or was he completely white? How profitable was it for you?
He was sort of salt and pepper back then. Now he's almost completely white. But then, because one day he was like to me, hey, Em, I'll pay you $10 if you manage to get 1 kilo of the white hair.
Oh,
that is that is filthy. And he was definitely pulling your leg. But that's good, Emily. I mean, 5 cent, that's a jube back in the day. thank you. And what about you, Jocelyn from Melbourne, another hair-related one?
Yeah, I used to get paid 50 cents for every 15 minutes that I would brush my mum's hair while watching TV.
There's something weird about that, isn't there? Because it sounds like my mum always, like, whenever you touch her head, she goes, oh, that's nice. And you go, I'm going to stop doing it because you're loving it way too much.
If you were saying doing, 50 cents per 15 minutes, would you get through, like, an hour-long show, maybe a movie, get a couple of bucks?
If I needed the money. And I'd sit there. Maybe have to swap hands if your hand starts hurting for a while.
Yeah.
Does your mum's hair look good?
Yeah. It's fluffy at the end.
Sometimes it's low. There's low moments as a child that you just have to go through for the extra bucks.
And we're running a bit of a sort of child's labour union scenario here, kind of trying to find out what the right rate of pay is for the right fair day's work if you're a child.
Yeah, don't tell Bill Shorten. He'll try to get in on it or something.
That's vague union joke. Very well done. Yeah. This is a pretty strange one. Someone said, where is it? I used to get 50 cents per 5 minutes to tickle my dad's feet. Looking back, it's a raw deal. Sean from Brizzy.
Or just looking back, it's weird. Why does dad
want to have his teeth be tickled for 5 minutes?
Yeah, there's lots of weird foot things. Amber in Dollar Chill says, Dad used to pay my sisters 50 cents for his day spa service. Neck massages, trimming the hair from his ears, occasionally his nose.
Wow, great deal again for a dad, 50 cents.
Oh my gosh, this is really weird. Abe from Ballarat, tell us about your sort of currency situation with your parents.
Well, my task was always mowing the lawns or just other jobs around the house. But Mum would always pay us in what she called Mum money.
Vague. Like 90s Bitcoin.
Yeah. So it was her form of currency that she paid us for.
Right. And so how much Mum money would you have to earn to trade it in for something tangible?
Oh, so one of the things she used to do was if you had 100 Mum money, she'd take you to the movies. But to get 100 Mum money was about 10 hours mowing the lawns.
Okay. Whoa. So it's essentially like Gold Stars, but different.
About a dollar an hour in Mum money terms.
Yeah.
Oh,
That's not so bad.
Oh, it's better than a lot of other stuff. What about, like, we got a text saying, I used to get a jelly bean for picking fluff out of my dad's belly button.
Oh,
that's a really weird exchange.
Not okay.
But thanks, Abe. And Dave from Jordan Springs, tell us what your deal was.
How are you guys? So I used to do a bit of carpooling with my old man on the side when I was younger. And about 7 or 8 years old, I get in the car one morning and he says, right, so we've got a big job on today. We're going to pay you $25,000 if you get through the whole day. And I thought, like, at 7 years old, I went, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like, game over.
Yeah, you can retire.
Finish the job. And he said, right, so we'll change it up. You can either take the $25,000 or go for option B. I said, don't be stupid. I'm taking the money and going.
Of course.
And him and his offsider played the prank, and it was actually 25,000 rupee or baht. I can't remember exactly which one it was. So I would have been better off with option B. I think it was $5 Australian.
Oh no,
Dave.
What was the lesson to learn from that? To not trust your dad.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So
well,
that was the last job I did. We parted ways after that. That was the end of my carpet lane career.
Damn right.
Fair enough. But at least now that you're an adult, you can play the same trick on some unknowing.
No, that's not the lesson. Don't pass it on. Yeah. Do better.
Thanks, Dave. And Jenna from Newcastle, tell us about the horrendous task you had to do.
Well, it wasn't actually me. It was my best friend.
Okay.
And her mum would pay her $30 to pick up dead mice because she hated them so much.
Oh,
how many dead mice did she have around the place?
Well, they live near the bush, so, and their cat would kind of kill them and bring them inside. So, maybe like 3 a year.
Yeah. Oh, what? And that's $30 per mice, or $30 is that an annual salary?
No, $30 like per dead mouse.
Oh, man.
How old was she at the time?
Oh, between probably the ages of 8 and 13. Oh, so she's only little.
She was a millionaire.
She could have started to, like, generate her own work. It's a bad spiral. Start killing mice so that you can pick them up. Yeah, it's a bad scene.
Well, actually, someone texted in a similar thing about that. Amy said she used to get paid 1 cent for every stick she picked up in her paddock. And someone else said, I used to get 1 cent per stick too. I used to break every stick in half.
Of course.
Take
you
that,
did.
Dad. We were talking about currency that you got paid as a child for odd jobs, basically, your parents were making you do.
Yeah, we're essentially shaming mums and dads right across Australia.
Yeah.
We're very cruel.
Some people got paid pretty well, but mostly it's a racket.
Yeah, mostly it's just like, someone said, Mia from Traralgon said, Mum used to pay me $10 per pimple to squeeze on the back. Depends how many there were, I guess, but $10 is okay compared to a lot of the other payments that have been happening around. Catherine from Newcastle. You had a sort of scheme where you were the baddie, really. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I was. So I'm the eldest of four kids, and when Mum and Dad would be out and I would be in charge, or not in charge, but babysitting, we'd play Monopoly, and I was always the banker. And so I'd get my three siblings to clean the house under the promise of paying them with Monopoly money, and while they did it, I'd sneak myself a couple of 500.
Oh. Couple of fivers.
So
yeah.
Why did they think that Monopoly... Oh, so you would pay them from the bank as, like, this will help you in your Monopoly game, and then while they were off doing it, you just topped yourself up anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And they thought I was great. They really, really appreciated it.
Oh, you were a bad older sister.
I know.
It's very
I was evil genius.
It's very telling that you accidentally were like, when I was in charge, I mean, babysitting.
yeah, true.
Thanks, Catherine. Danella from Port Ferry, tell us your story.
Hi there. I was a pretty fussy eater as a kid.
Sorry, that was Lewis just agreeing with you in excitement because he's also one.
Oh, that's funny. And Mum must have pulled her hair out with all the fuss I made out of fussy food. She would quite often make custard that had lumps in it, and I would refuse to eat it. So
damn right.
She then decided to pay me 5 cents for every lump in the custard that I found if I ate the bowl of custard.
Oh, did it work?
Well, it did, actually. I ate it, I would spit out all the lumps and I'd line up all around the bowl, all the different lumps I found in the custard.
Oh, wow.
And expect payment afterwards.
Oh my God.
Is a really good trick. Lewis, I should have done that for you.
I would have been much happier to have made a bit of cash off the last 3 days of torment and pain.
Oh, Danella, have you seen the video up on the Triple J Facebook of Lewis just being hypnotised into throwing custard all over himself?
Oh, my goodness. No, I haven't, but I must go on and have a look.
Go on there because it's both sad and rewarding and a little bit funny.
Yeah, there, but for the grace of God, go you.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.